At his desk, Amos Hines turned over the last sheet of the 2-page legal document he'd been instructed to read. His mouth had gone dry as wheat chaff, and for a moment he could only blink in dazed disbelief at his client and longtime friend seated before his desk, a woman he had admired, revered, for 40 years and had thought he knew. He searched her expression for indications that age had finally affected her faculties, but she stared back with all the clear-eyed acuity for which she was renowned. Working saliva into his mouth, he asked,
"Is this codicil for real, Mary? You've sold the farms and changed your will?"
Mary Tolliver Dumont nodded, the waves of her coiffed white head catching the light from the French windows.
"Yes, to both, Amos. I know you're shocked, and this isn't a nice way to repay all your years of service and devotion. But you'd have been deeply hurt if I'd put this business in the hands of another attorney."
"Indeed I would have," he said.
"Another attorney would not have tried to talk you into rethinking this codicil, at least the part that can be revised."
There was no rescuing Tolliver Farms, Mary's enormous cotton holdings that she'd sold in secret negotiations the past month, a fact concealed from her great niece sitting in ignorance out in Lubbock, Texas, as manager of Tolliver Farms West.
"There's nothing to revise, Amos," Mary said with a trace of asperity. "What's done is done, and there's no change in my mind. You'd waste your time and mine by trying."
"Has Rachel done something to offend you?"
he asked evenly, swiveling his chair around to a credenza. He reached for a carafe and noticed his hand shook as he poured 2 glasses of water. He would have preferred something stronger, but Mary never touched alcohol.
"Is that why you sold the farms and amended your will?"
"Oh, good Lord, no," Mary said, sounding horrified. "You must never believe that. My great-niece has done nothing but be who she is, a Tolliver through and through."
He found beverage napkins and rotated to hand Mary her glass. She'd lost weight, he decided. Her couture suit hung on her somewhat, and her coddled face, still striking at 85, looked thinner. This business had taken a toll on her, as it damn well should, he thought, a shaft of anger shooting through him. How could she do this to her great-niece, dispossess her of everything she'd expected to inherit, the land and house of her forebears, her right to live in the town they'd helped to found? He took a long swallow of the water and tried to keep the outrage from his voice when he observed,
"You make that sound like a flaw."
"It is, and I'm correcting it."
She turned up her glass and drank thirstily, patting the napkin to her lips afterward.
"That's the purpose of the codicil. I don't expect you to have a clue as to what that purpose is, Amos. But Percy will when the time comes. So will Rachel once I've explained it."
"And when do you plan to do that?"
"I'm flying to Lubbock tomorrow in the company plane to meet with her. She doesn't know I'm coming. I'll tell her about the sale and the codicil then, and hope that my arguments convince her I've done what's best for her."
"Best for her?" Amos peered over his glasses at her in incredulous wonder. Mary would have better luck selling celibacy to a sailor. Rachel would never forgive her for what she'd done. Of that, he was certain. He leaned forward and held her with a determined eye.
"How about trying your arguments on me first, Mary? Why would you sell Tolliver Farms, which you've worked most of your life to build? Why leave Somerset to Percy Warwick, of all people? What use is a cotton plantation to him? Percy is a lumberman. For God's sake, he's 90 years old. And bequeathing the Tolliver Mansion to the Conservation Society is, well, it's a final slap. You know that Rachel has always regarded that house as her home. She's planning on spending the rest of her life in it."
"I know. That's why I've deprived her of it."
She appeared unmoved, sitting ramrod straight with her hand curved over the crook of her anchored cane, looking for all the world like a queen on her throne and the cane her scepter.
"I want her to make her own home somewhere else. Start over on new ground," she said. "I don't want her staying here and living out her life according to the gospel of the Tollivers."
But I don't understand."
Amos spread his hands in frustration.
"I thought that's what you'd prepared her for all these years."
It was a mistake. A very selfish mistake. Thank God I realized the tragedy of my error before it was too late and had the gumption and wisdom to correct it.
She waved a dismissive hand.
Save your energy and mine in trying to convince me to explain, Amos. It's a puzzle, I know. But keep your faith in me. My motives could not be pure.
Bewildered, he tried another tack.
You haven't done this out of some misguided notion of what you feel you owe her father, William, have you?
Absolutely not.
A spark of temper flashed in her eyes. They were known as the Tolliver eyes, green as rare emeralds, a feature inherited from her father's side of the family, along with her once black hair and the dimple in the center of her chin.
I'm sure my nephew might see it that way, or rather, that wife of his will, she said. To her mind, I've done what's right and proper by giving William what has justly been his all along.
She gave a little snort.
Let Alice Tolliver have her illusion that I sold the farms out of guilt over what I owe her husband. I didn't do any of this for him, but for his daughter. I believe he'll realize that.
She paused, her finely lined face pensive, doubtful, and added in a less confident tone,
I wish I could be as sure of Rachel.
Mary.
Amos strove for his most persuasive timbre.
Rachel's a swat from the same cloth as you. Do you think that you would have understood if your father had deprived you of your legacy? The plantation? The house? The town that owes its birth to your family, no matter how justified his reasons?
Her jaw tightened beneath a slight droop of her jowls.
No, but I wish he had. I wish to God he'd never left me Somerset.
He gaped at her, truly shocked.
But why? You've had a marvelous life. A life that I thought you wished to bequeath to Rachel to perpetuate your family's heritage. This codicil is so...
He swept the back of his hand over the document.
Averse to everything I thought you'd hoped for her. That you led her to believe you wanted for her.